It is our prayer, God, that you would make a change in us from the inside out. And Father, that you would allow us to be your bright light in this dark world. And God, that you would give us an opportunity to serve you and just let people know more about Jesus Christ. And Father, that all starts when our lives are changed, when we come into the contact with the blood of Jesus. And so we're so grateful for that. And I pray that as we open up your word and as we talk about what you want us to do in regards to our scripture today, I pray, God, that we would take it to heart, that we would apply it to our lives, and that, God, more people would come to know you, and that we would draw closer to you. And so we give it to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Job was the first, one of the first ones to ask the question. It's been asked by millions of people since. Maybe it has been asked by you. And it has never really received a completely satisfactory answer. And that question is this: why do good people seem to suffer? And why do wicked people seem to prosper sometimes? Have you ever dealt with that in your own life at time? And you look at things that are going on, and you know that some people are doing things, maybe even illegally, and they're getting by with it, and it just seems like everything is going wonderfully, while you are trying to do everything that you can possibly do right, and you just can't seem to get a break. Job couldn't understand why all of the ungodly people's cattle was multiplying, but he lost his entire herd. Job had a hard time understanding why the wicked people were safe in their homes while his sons and his daughters were all killed within their home. It distressed Job that the children of the unrighteous neighbors were dancing around in their yards with their children, and Job had lost all of his. Job asked this question in Job chapter 21, verse 7, and in verses 13 and 15. Why do the wicked live on, growing old and increasing in power? They spend their years in prosperity and go down to the grave in peace. Yet they say to God, "Leave us alone. We have no desire to know your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? What would we gain by praying to him?" And even though Job didn't understand why, he held on to his faith, and this is what he said: "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord." I know sometimes all of us at one time or another, we've asked that question: if God is all loving, if God is all powerful, if he can do anything that he wants, and he's a good and gracious God, why do bad things happen to people who are trying to be good? Let me ask you, students. You've probably dealt with this before. Some of you have studied long and hard, and you put in all kinds of hours, and sometimes you just barely scrape by, but then you see someone who seems to cheat on their tests, and they borrow other people's homework and papers, and they seem to get good grades. Does that not bother you a little bit? Sure it does, you know? We've seen people who struggle to make ends meet while we know people who are doing things illegally live in luxury. You try to raise your children to know the Lord, and sometimes they struggle and they get into things that they shouldn't get into, while someone who didn't even raise their children in church or off to Bible college may be studying for ministry, and you scratch your head and you say, "How did that happen, God?" Sometimes, and this isn't a great answer, I know, but sometimes life just isn't fair, is it? It kind of stinks. It seems like sometimes God doesn't seem to bless those who are serving him, and yet those who are not serving him seem to prosper. You know? And what happens sometimes is people get to the point in their lives where they see this injustice, and so they say, "If that's what it's all about, why am I doing what I'm doing?" And so they just throw up their hands and they say, "Whatever." But God wants us to thrive. God does not want us to be in a situation where we throw up our hands and we say, "Whatever," and just roll with it. God has created us to not just exist in this world, but to thrive in this world until he calls us home. Simon Peter wrote about the reason for suffering in 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, this passage of scripture doesn't answer all questions for all times, but it does give us some helpful insights into the mind of God about human anguish and why there are some sufferings and why there are some troubles in our world. So first of all, this is what it teaches us. It teaches us that suffering is inevitable and you should expect it. Look at verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Some people are surprised when difficult things come into their lives. They say things like, you just don't think this will ever happen to you. And they're shocked and they're unprepared and they're going through this, what they thought was an impossible nightmare. And what happens sometimes is because people think that when they become a Christian, all of those things are going to go away. The truth sets in and they understand that sometimes bad things do happen, and some people get bitter and they shake their fist at God and they accuse him of being totally unfair and they say, God, how could you? I've heard that Ted Turner's sister died when he was a little boy, and he prayed hard that God would heal her and make her better. And that didn't happen. And to this day, Ted Turner is an atheist. He has turned his back completely on anything God. He doesn't believe that God exists because of what happened to him as a little child. But here's the deal. Peter is being very realistic, and he says this: don't be surprised when you face suffering, because that's normal. That's the norm. I want you to raise your hand if you're in here today and you've never gone through a difficult time in your life. Just go ahead and put that hand right up there if you've never gone through anything difficult. Maybe someone who's about three. Yeah, Harrison. Yeah, okay, go ahead, right there. He's about the only one. He's off the hook. Very good. But Peter lists at least